Welcome back to the OU's Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz, and today we'll be concluding the third chapter of Maseches Edios and beginning the fourth. Mishnah Yud Beis, the final Mishnah in the third chapter, tells us, Shlosha Devarim Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Matir v'chachamim Osrin. There were three things that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah permitted, but the sages prohibited. Paraso Yotza Beretzua Sheben Karneha, his cow would go out on Shabbos with a strap between its horns. Umakardin Eshabahema Biyomtov, he permitted grooming an animal on Yontov. Veshochakin Eshapilpilin Berechayim Shalahem, and he permitted grinding pepper in its mill. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Makardin Eshabahema Biyomtov, you can't groom an animal on Yontov, Vipneshu Osa Chabura, because that causes it to be wounded, it makes it bleed. Aval Makartsvin, but you can comb the animal. The Chachamim Omrim, but the sages say, Ein Makardin Aflo Makartsvin. Neither can you groom it, nor can you comb it. Let us look in the Barton Uro. Paraso Yotza Beretzua Sheben Karneha, his cow would go out with a strap between its horns. Linoi, as a decoration. V'amru Chachamim, and the sages say, Masoihu V'eno Tachshithu. It's not considered an adornment, it's considered a burden. So that would be the cow carrying, and that's not permitted. V'lo paraso she Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ha'isa. It wasn't really Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's cow. Elashel shchento. It was the cow belonging to his neighbor. Va'al shelo michaba nikres al shmo. But because he did not prevent his neighbor from carrying it out with the strap between its horns, then it's called by his name. So it's referred to as the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, even though it didn't actually belong to him. U'makardim b'yomtov. One can groom an animal on yontiv. Kamin Megira Katana Shel Barzel Sheshineha Dakos Umechatchin Umegadrin Ba Esabahema Va'afogav Da Avid Chabura. So he would allow one to comb the animal using a small metal comb that had narrow teeth, even though doing so would cause the animal to be wounded and bleed. Birchaim Shalahem, and he said that one could grind pepper in its mill. Katanasa Asuyas Lakach. So it was a small mill, hand mill, that was made for this specific purpose. I guess it would be like one of our pepper mills, perhaps. So we would say you'd have to crush pepper with a spoon or something, but he permitted you to actually use a pepper grinder. Makartsvin. So Rabbi Huda comes along and says you can't groom the animal, but you can comb it. B'magira shel eitz sheshineha gasos. So you couldn't use one of these small metal combs with the narrow teeth, but you could use a large wooden comb that had wide teeth. V'eino sen chabura, because such a thing does not make a wound. But the sages say neither can you use the small metal comb, nor can you use the large wooden comb. Aflo makartsvin, you can't even do that. D'gazrinan kartsuf atu kirud. They made a gezeira, a preventative measure against combing it, so that you shouldn't come to groom it. Vein halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and the halacha does not follow Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, ele b'markidim es habehema bilvad, except in the case where it comes to grooming the animal. Mishum d'vaha kimle b'shitase d'Rav Shimon, damar davar shein miskavin mutter. Because in this matter he follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who says that something that's an unintentional consequence is permitted. So you want to groom your animal, you have no intention of wounding it. It might happen, but it's not something that that you want to have. The Kaimalon Kavase, and we follow Rabbi Shimon when it comes to this principle. The Chachamim Depligiale, and the sages who differ with him, Savri Karebi Yehuda, they agree with Rabbi Yehuda, Damar Davashein Miskavin Aser, who says that something unintended is prohibited, V'ein Ka Halacha, and this is not, in fact, the Halacha. Alright, that's the end of the third chapter. Let us now immediately begin the fourth chapter. Eil Devarim Mikule Beishamai Mechumre Beishilel. The following things are the situations where Beis Shammai are the lenient ones and Beis Hillel are the stringent ones. So what's our first case? Be'esh enolda b'yom tov, an egg that's laid on yontov. Beis Shammai omrim te'achel. Beis Shammai say it may be eaten. U'Beis Hillel omrim lo te'achel. And Beis Hillel say it may not be eaten, meaning it may not be eaten on yontov, it could be eaten afterwards. Beis Shammai omrim and Beis Shammai say, so'or b'kazayas v'chabetz b'kakoseves, that the prohibited amount of leaven, of a leavening agent, is an olive size, and the prohibited amount of chametz, of some object that has been leavened, that is a date size, which is a larger amount. Obeshilo omrim, beshilo se, zebezebekazayas. They say both of them are prohibited in an olive-sized portion. Let's look at the Bartnora, who will explain exactly what the situation is here. Be'ashin nolda biyomtov, an egg that was laid on yontiv. Biyomtov shel achar Shabbos askinan. Here we're actually talking about yontiv after Shabbos. V'temayhu de Beis Hillel, and the reason that Beis Hillel says is prohibited, de amri lo te'achil, they say it may not be eaten. Mishum de kol be'a shemis yalda ha'idna me'etmo gamrala. That an egg that's laid today was actually finished yesterday. V'nimtzeis Shabbos mechina liyomtov. So we see that Shabbos prepared for yontiv. V'hatara amra, and the Torah tells us, v'haya biyom hashishi v'hechinu. So it says we're supposed to prepare on Friday, on the sixth day for Shabbos. Ustam yom shishi cholhu, and the regular Friday is a weekday. So chol mechin l'shabbos, v'chol mechin l'yomtov. So weekdays we should prepare for Shabbos or for yomtov. The yomtov nami ikri Shabbos, because yomtov is also considered Shabbos. V'ein yomtov mechin l'shabbos, but we may not prepare from yomtov for Shabbos. V'lo Shabbos mechin l'yomtov, and we may not prepare from Shabbos for yomtov. V'hachana debeya afal gav di b'day shamayim hi. And even though we're not preparing the egg from Shabbos for yomtov, heaven's doing it, it's happening naturally, nevertheless, mikri hachana, it's still considered a form of preparation. So orbekazayas, leaven in the size of an olive. Leinin achila kulei alma lo plige de zevezebekazayas. When it comes to not being able to eat it on Pesach, everyone agrees that whether you're talking about the leavening agent or the leaven thing, you cannot eat more than can't eat any, but that the culpable amount would be a kazayas, an olive size. Midapasach hakasuv besaor. Because the verse starts talking about Seor, leaven. It says, Seor lo yimatze bebatechem. It shouldn't be found in your homes. V'sayim bechametz. And the verse ends with chametz. Ki kol ochel machmetzes. So that's the quote from the pasuk. So lo melecha zehu Seor, zehu chametz. So we infer from this that the pasuk is telling us that Seor and chametz are in fact the same. Kazeh ken kazeh. So what applies to one applies to the other. Ki pligi, where they differ, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, is l'inyan biyor, about how much you have to get rid of. Beis Shammai savre, midekasav rachamana l'tarvahu se'or v'chametz, that since it talks about se'or and chametz separately in the Torah, shma mina shiro shel zeh, lo kishiro shel zeh. So we see from this that they must have different measures. V'lo yolfino in biyor mi'achila, and we don't learn what you have to get rid of, where they're different, from what you may not eat, where they're the same. Obeisil say no, we do learn the sizes of what you have to get rid of from what you may not eat, and therefore they are both a kazayas, both an olive size portion. Alright, that's the end of Mishnah Aleph. Join us tomorrow, and we will continue this chapter with Mishnayas Beis and Gimel.